You're with SBS Radio.
I think it's important not to overstate it, not to understate it. The most exceptional thing about it was that this was a rally where Nazi insignia, SS symbols, swastikas, Hitler salutes and so on were being promoted and glorified in a positive way in support of an overtly racist message to introduce racial criteria into our immigration policy and to reintroduce racial criteria into our immigration policy in Australia. But we're not used to seeing in Australia. I mean, we've seen Nazi symbols being displayed in many, many different contexts, but usually as a way of vilifying another group. For example, displaying the swastika to try to vilify Israel and to make out Israel as a Nazi state and so on. So we've seen that sort of symbolism being used, but in a very different way. This was something we don't normally see in Australia, which is Nazi symbolism being used in a way that glorifies it and promotes it. To have that on the streets of Australia, anywhere in Australia, and to have it supported by a Member of Parliament, really quite precedented in my view, deserves condemnation. There was a counter-protest. I believe the number of counter-protesters greatly outnumbered the number of people at the rally. It's important to understand, though, that even though the message at the rally was obviously a racist message and it was a question of hate speech, there was no overt incitement of violence as such.
We are talking to Peter Wertheim, co-CEO of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, and you're listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia. Peter, what do we know about the far-right groups in Australia?
They are small in number, but they are increasingly well organised, and the profile of the people in those groups has changed quite significantly over the last few years. In the past, when we had far-right groups in Australia, they tended to be people from low socioeconomic backgrounds, not terribly bright, not well organised, not especially politically savvy. Recently, however, we have seen younger people get involved. We've seen some of them who are from good homes, from private schools, some of them with a university education, and they come to this position of neo-Nazism and white supremacy not from a position of grievance so much as a position of entitlement. There are extreme overtly neo-Nazi groups, and there are also front organisations that are not specifically neo-Nazi but far right. Some of these other groups tend to have people in them who are, as I say, younger, more politically savvy, better educated. And we saw that most graphically illustrated last year when a group of young people from that sort of background attempted to take over the Young Nationals Party in New South Wales. These are people who generally have very low regard for democratic values, the values of freedom that we hold dear, see themselves as the potential dictators of Australia, the leaders of a hierarchy based on race. And in that sense, it echoes classical Nazi ideology.
Do they fuel the rise of anti-Semitism and neo-Nazi behaviour in Australia?
They do both. They both fuel it and to some extent feed off it. Just to give you an example, an upsurge in the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians, that tends to lead to a lot of activity on the far left, which often leads into anti-Semitic sentiment. You find that some of the sentiment that is expressed goes beyond just ordinary political criticism of the actions of the Israeli government and becomes overtly anti-Semitic. This type of discourse is picked up by the neo-Nazis, replicated in their messages and on their social media as well. And very often you'll find the messages about Jewish lobbies, Jewish conspiracies, Jews controlling the banks and the media and so on being played out in common on both the far left and the far right. In some cases, it's very difficult to distinguish which is which. So there's been some convergence there. And in fact, several years ago, there was actually a demonstration against Israel in Town Hall Square. It was attended and supported by one of the most notorious neo-Nazis in the country, who was there chanting along with the best of them, "In our thousands, in our millions, we are all Palestinians." This was a shaven-headed neo-Nazi joining in the protest and giving his support because of what he perceived, and maybe not entirely inaccurately, as the underlying anti-Semitic message of some of the placards. and slogans.
We are talking to Peter Wertheim, co-CEO of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, and you're listening to SBS Radio Shalom Australia, broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Peter, I wanted to ask you about the participants of the Queensland Senator Fraser Anning at the rallies. What does it tell us? I mean, we paid for it.
Well, again, I think it's important neither to overstate nor understate the problem. It must be remembered that Senator Anning was elected on a very, very small number of votes and only got in because of the vagaries of the preference system that applied in Australia. I don't think he should be overstating the level of support that he enjoys. Nevertheless, he was elected through the democratic process. He is an elected Member of Parliament, and to have an elected Member of Parliament associated with this new phenomenon of neo-Nazism and the more politically savvy variety of it, even if he denies it, the fact was it was there, it was witnessed, there's lots of film of this sort of thing going on at the rally that he was addressing. I think this is unprecedented. He was rightly condemned by politicians from the centre right of politics, the centre left, and others, and rightly so in my view. And I think that was probably the best part of the whole incident, the fact that partisan politics was put to one side for a change, and there was a united message across the political spectrum, or at least most of the political spectrum, condemning his participation in that rally. So, all of that is not a secret. It's all on the public record. If the senator wasn't aware of it, well, he should have been aware of it. So anyone who participates in a public rally, speaks in support of it, should be aware of where the people are coming from, what their agenda is, and what he or she is supporting.
Peter, there is a large number of Holocaust survivors in Melbourne. Did you receive any feedback from survivors?
I did get a couple of emails from survivors just thanking me for my contributions in the media on the subject. So that was some feedback that we got. The more worrying part of it was that this rally occurred hard on the heels of another incident in Melbourne where one neo-Nazi group had plastered its stickers with swastikas and other overtly anti-Jewish messages on the outside walls of an aged care facility in Melbourne. And this was an aged care facility run by the Jewish community, which includes quite a number of Holocaust survivors. So it's quite clear that they were intending to target the frail, elderly Jewish people in that facility and to torment those among them who are Holocaust survivors, who you would have to agree, you know, have suffered enough trauma in their lives.
Should be concerned about the rise of anti-Semitism in Australia?
I think we should be alert but not alarmed. Overall, Australia remains a very tolerant country. Jewish people can walk around freely in the streets. Men wearing head covering sometimes attract the odd comment, but it's pretty rare by and large, and the Jewish community has done well here and in turn has contributed a great deal back.
Peter Wertheim, co-CEO of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, thank you very much.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.